What's up, everybody? This is Mario, and welcome back to another episode of Talking Endurance and Mastery. And today I'm super excited to share my recent interview with Casey Field Gilbert. Casey is an iFit trainer, a fitness model, an endurance athlete, and run coach. In this interview, we talk about a lot of different things. We hear his backstory and going from a job that left him unfulfilled to taking those first steps into personal training and modeling and eventually becoming an iFit trainer. And we hear about what it's like to travel all around the world to places like Germany and Croatia and Uzbekistan to film different run series and coach people through that experience. We also talk about lessons that he has learned from competing in endurance events like marathons, and also his recent experience in completing 29029 Everesting, which is where he climbed 29,029 feet, which is the equivalent of Mount Everest at Snow Basin Resort in Utah. So if you're somebody who's looking for advice on how to chase your dreams, make those big decisions, trust your intuition, and also become a better person along the way, then you are going to love this interview. I had so much fun recording it and getting to know him and just learning from him, and I know that you will as well. So first, I'm gonna roll the trailer, and then we're gonna get into it. Do you wanna complete an endurance event and elevate all areas of your life, but you don't know where to start? Then you're in the right place. Talking Endurance and Mastery is a podcast to help you create a vision and take steps towards your goals and dreams. I'm your coach, Mario Minner. I've completed events like Ironmans and ultramarathons, but I believe the true benefit from endurance events is how they help you become the best version of yourself. Join me as I share stories, lessons, and interview guests to help you apply endurance and mastery principles into every area of your life. Are you ready? Let's go. All right. I am very excited to introduce today's guest. Today we have iFit trainer, fitness model, endurance athlete, and run coach, Casey Field Gilbert. And Casey is a National Academy of Sports Medicine certified personal trainer. He is a former Division I track and field hurdler from upstate New York. And he has an impressive running career stacked with accomplishments such as completing 7 marathons, with most of those coming under 3 hours, which has qualified him for Boston. And in addition to that, he's completed 50K and 50-mile ultra marathons. Not only does he complete marathons, he also coaches people through interval series and marathons around the world via the iFit app, which to me is almost even more impressive to run a marathon and coach somebody through it at the same time. And even on top of that, he also recently completed the 29029 Everesting event, where he climbed 29,029 feet in 13 ascents in Snow Basin Resort in Utah, which is where we connected. So Casey, welcome to the show.
Mario, so happy to be here, man. Great to talk to you.
Awesome. Let's do it. So in doing research for this interview, I, you know, first started off and I started finding all of the different iFit series that you've done in all of these amazing places, you know, like New York, New Jersey, Bryce Canyon, London, Germany, Croatia, and Uzbekistan. But I also, you know, understand that it's been a journey for you to get here and to get this dream job. And really the thing that stands out to me and the thing that I admire about your story is just your ability to trust your gut and make those big decisions that took you from a previous path in medical sales to this path of fitness. To kick things off, I want to start with a post that you made on Instagram that describes this transition. And so it's titled, "How I Thought My Life Would Be Post-College Versus How It Is Now." And it goes, "If baby Casey only knew that medical sales would bring him money, but also stress, doubt, and anxiety, I think he would have made the switch to fitness much earlier. I've been asked for tips on getting into the fitness industry. In my case, it was just following my gut, literally. My stomach would turn when I was getting ready for my job at a nuclear cardiologist. My body knew I wasn't happy. It was telling me to change. I took a leap, started personal training, and eventually met the right people, put myself in the right rooms, and 7 years later, I have a job that I can easily say is a dream." So take us back to
that time kind of post-college when you're in that state. And, you know, what was that like, and how did you kind of eventually take that first step and that first leap?
Yeah. So that was, it was quite the experience, and it still has been. The thing about it is I still have moments where I get that feeling, and I still, you know, my gut still tries to push me into new and exciting opportunities. But back then I had never really known what I wanted to do. I never really knew what I was good at. I didn't know what career path I wanted to do. I went into biology at Binghamton University because I thought science was cool. And I was dating a girl that went to that university, so I figured I would go there. It's kind of happenstance. And then I ran track and field in high school. I've always been into sports. It kind of just keeps me calm. And then, you know, running track in college, I was working out and training, you know, 4 hours sometimes every day and for 4 years. And then after that, it was really just kind of, okay, I don't have athletics anymore to distract me from what I wanted to do. Now it's crunch time. Like, what am I going to do? So I had a biology degree. I went into, I was a medical scribe for a little while. I was working at Westchester Medical Center, overnight shifts in the emergency room. And I was basically following the doctor around with portable computer, taking notes and literally just scribing whatever they would say. So I was put in the room with a lot of really exciting, yet pretty intimidating, extreme circumstances. But it also gave me an opportunity to kind of pick the brains of the people that worked there. And I didn't really get the sense that anybody there enjoyed their job much. That was something very important to me. It still is. So I kind of transitioned from that, thinking I wanted to be a doctor, even though my grades were not great to get me into that path. But medical sales seemed to make sense. I kind of fell into it, and it was great. Had a car, great salary. And it was kind of work however you want. But yeah, I would wake up and I would feel this, you know, at that time, I don't know if I knew it was anxiety. I just felt very nervous. My stomach would hurt. I would just not really want to get out of bed. It's almost like the young child that says, I don't want to go to school. When in reality, a lot of it is just fear. It's stress. I didn't like what I was doing, and I couldn't see myself doing that long term. So I started after years of this. I mean, it took years. It wasn't just okay, then my gut is telling me to do something different and let's just follow that. It was years of, okay, something's got to change. And so I started training my friends on the side, and I was just like, I don't know how to train anybody. I know how to work out, but let me see what I can do. And I was terrible at it at first. And then at one point I was so unhappy that I said, okay, I'm going to try. So I quit my job. I was involved in a fitness modeling agency called Wilhelmina Models in New York, which was giving me some part-time work. I was doing some cater waitering, which is basically holding champagne for hoity-toity events and fashion shows and cool things in the city. And then I was working at a very small gym in Astoria, Queens. That's kind of how it started. And yeah, fast forward to now, it's been quite the ride.
Oh my gosh. Well, first, like, thank you for sharing that with me. I think there's a lot of power in sharing that story, because I think people can maybe see where you're at now, you know, doing all of these amazing events, training people, you know, through iFit, and think that it's just been this super straight, easy path to get there. And I think that there's a lot of power in sharing that. And so, you know, from recognizing that it wasn't what you wanted to be doing, and then finally starting to make that initial decision to start doing personal training, was that a decision? Like, how did you actually make that decision? Was it gut? Was it something that you thought through, you know, pros and cons? Like, how did you actually navigate that?
You know, it really just got to a tipping point. It got to a point where not only was I not wanting to go to work, sometimes I would just be, you know, physically feeling unwell. I wouldn't, you know, I would just be like, I need to change something. And, you know, I talked it out with my friends and family a little bit, not too much, but it was really just a gut decision. It was like, I don't know where this can bring me, but the great thing about New York City is there's so much opportunity if you hustle. And I knew that I could put myself in different rooms with people that were successful in what I thought was success. And I just didn't see myself doing what I was doing. It was kind of a gut decision, some pros and cons. I mean, I've said in the past that if I had ever made, which I haven't, 3-year plan or a 5-year plan, none of them would have ever come true, even close. That doesn't mean it's not a good idea to think about, but I think what I've learned is, yeah, if you go with your gut and kind of trust your hustle, you know, I don't know what I'll be doing in 5 years, 10 years down the line. I mean, hopefully something cool. And, you know, I don't know what that's going to look like, but I trust the fact that I, you know, want to hustle and am driven and can make these decisions to change and pivot. But yeah, it was not an easy decision. That's for sure. And for a while it was tough. It was very difficult. You know, I wasn't making a lot of money. It was barely paying rent. And I was working 3, sometimes 4 different jobs. And it was very stressful for sure.
Yeah, because that's kind of what I was curious about. Like, was it that you had like this vision of, I want to be, you know, a fitness trainer, or a celebrity trainer. And it's like, I need to like take the first step towards that. But it sounds like it was really just, I want to try this out. Like, fitness has always been a core part of my identity, right? Like, I've been an athlete and I want to try that out kind of on the side. Is that right? Like, it was just kind of like almost like a baby step. It wasn't like, I know exactly where I'm going with this.
No, it was definitely just I need to take a step in a different direction and I'm going to take that step. Did not know where that path was. And certainly didn't even know if it would be something I could build into a career or a job that would really support myself at all. It was, this is what I know. This is what I'm good at. This makes me happy. If I can make myself be happy and help others find their happiness and their, you know, fitness and health and wellness, and maybe I can make some money, that'd be great. You know, I was young at the time. I think I was, you know, what is young? I was 24, 20, 25. No, that's not true. I was 26 or 27. But yeah, it was just like, hey, I have time here. I'm fortunate enough to have a little bit of savings. And if I go through that, I'm very fortunate to have, you know, my parents still around and able mm-hmm. to help me out if I need to. So it was nice to have that kind of safety net a little bit. But yeah, I had no idea what even the second step was going to be. It was just, I need to take a step towards something that makes me feel a little less stressed and a little less kind of lost.
Yeah. And you even said something that I wrote down, which I really liked, is like taking that first step and trusting my hustle. Like, it's really just, I don't know where this is going to lead, but I'm going to take that first step. I'm going to trust in myself, trust in my hustle, and then see where it goes from there. And so it sounds like that first step was personal training, and then modeling also entered the picture. So at what point did iFit enter the picture for you?
So I was introduced to iFit, I believe in 2018. I was, doing a little fitness modeling, you know, building a little bit of an Instagram following. And so I was reached out to by someone that works PR with iFit, said, hey, we're doing this expo in New York. It's kind of just to showcase some of the iFit Nordic Track products. Would you like to come? Well, you know, it's free and fun. I think there was like, there's a swag bag or something. Like, if you're not busy, I'm like, yeah, cool. I love these events. They're super fun. And I have nothing to do that day. So I was like, cool, absolutely. I went there and kind of met the people there, met a couple of the trainers who I actually knew. One of them, her name was Alex Silverfagan. She was doing rowing for iFit at the time. And then I met this guy, tall, like all American looking blonde dude with this chiseled body and like super nice guy. His name was John Peel. He's been working with iFit for, I think, 14 years now. Anyway, me and this guy just hit it off and we're talking about this treadmill he was showing to me. Talked to him for about 10 or 15 minutes. I guess we exchanged Instagrams and went on my way. And then 6 months later, I get an email from someone at iFit saying, hey, we're doing a POV shoot, is what they called their on-location outdoor shoots. And we're doing a POV shoot in New York. We're looking for a local trainer that can teach on camera. And you were recommended by John Peel. Would you like to do it? And I honestly had to look at texts and emails and I had said, who the heck is John Peel? Because I had talked to this guy for 10 or 15 minutes. So we, you know, long story short there, I was able to do that running series through New York, through Central Park, over the Brooklyn Bridge. There's a few videos on the iFit app. And John Peel and I are now very good friends.
Yeah. So that's where the bromance started, it sounds like.
There's a bit of a bromance there, you know. It's we tend to play a little golf and get a little little insults here and there. And, you know, the fun thing about John is as I'm joking about it, he really is this guy who you'd see on the street. He's, you know, a fitness model looking dude, you know, big, tall, like football player looking guy. You'd expect him to have this ego, have this bravado, have this unapproachability. Yet he's one of the nicest guys I've ever met. And so it's fun to pick on him, because I'm like, man, you need to have something that like doesn't go in that pros column. You're supposed to be a jerk. You're not supposed to like give me this job opportunity after knowing me for 10 minutes. So yeah, he's a really good dude, not a great golfer. And you could tell him I said that.
Okay. But it just kind of goes back to the story at the beginning, where it's like you put yourself in a situation and you met the right people. And, you know, just that's just kind of an important thing to highlight. You know, you didn't know it at the time how much that would probably change things for you, even after a 10 to 15 minute conversation. But that is what led to the opportunity, it sounds like.
That one event, yes, and exactly right. It's just putting myself in different rooms. I don't live in New York right now, but I do miss that aspect of it. It's a stressful place, but
yeah,
there's a lot of rooms, there's a lot of people, and it's like the opportunity to just kind of the unknown in New York City and big cities in general. But in New York, I feel like the energy is like you go out and you're like, hey, I'm gonna bring my energy, I'm gonna bring my best self, and not gonna expect anything, but also going to be like, this could be the day that changes things, or this could be the one person I meet that can really change the, you know, where I'm headed. It was a big day for sure. And I did not expect it to be.
That's cool. It's just another point of like looking for those connections, looking for those opportunities. And, you know, you referenced like not living in New York anymore. I think another, you know, kind of big decision that it seemed like was moving from New York to Utah. Was that a decision for iFit, or how did you go about, you know, kind of making that decision from, you know, coast to coast?
Yeah. So that was a really tough one. So iFit was started and founded in Logan, Utah, Northern Utah. And that was where they were and are still filming some live content. So the opportunity presented itself in, let's say, winter of 2020. I got a call from my agent. He said, hey, iFit's looking to maybe bring you on full time. And so after a lot of talking and a lot of negotiation, it kind of presented itself. Hey, you know, if you want to move to Utah, you can do this full time. And I had a lot of long conversations with my wife. And, you know, I grew up in upstate New York. I lived at that time for 8 years in New York City. And everyone I know is on the East Coast. Everyone I, you know, love is basically in New York or very close by. It was an extremely difficult decision emotionally. Professionally, this was the kind of the dream job. It was, you know, I love working for iFit. I'm able to share my passion for running and fitness. And, you know, I had to take a bit of a leap of faith. Still, you know, it makes my heart pump a little bit, because it was and still is a very difficult decision. It changed a lot of kind of the trajectory of where I thought I was going. And it has had a lot of ups and downs, but the ups are pretty high up. It's been a very, very unique experience, and I'm pretty happy I made the choice.
That's good. And I think it kind of, like I mentioned at the beginning, it led to you doing a lot of these series all around the world. You know, I mentioned Germany, Croatia, London, Uzbekistan. So is there one series that you've done that really stands out to you? And can you just describe to us, what is it like being a part of any of those running series or marathons and doing that through the iFit app?
Yeah, so they're all so unique. There's a lot of really exciting things that I've been able to do. And there's literally been pinch me moments where I have to take a step to the side and pinch myself and say, hey, this is, you know, I got to stop worrying about like what's going to happen when I get back and what the next bills that I have to pay these are moments that I need to take in, whether that was, you know, walking in through and experiencing Christmas markets in Germany during Christmas season before the pandemic, which was really lucky and amazing. Or, you know, yeah, one of my favorites was we went to Uzbekistan. And I would say most people that are asked where Uzbekistan is, they would probably point to one hemisphere and say somewhere in there. That was me. That was me.
Oh,
as well.
Wow.
It's, you know, they asked me, they said, hey, do you want to go to Uzbekistan? We're talking about a series. And I said, yeah, before I even knew where it was. And I did some research and I'm like, this is crazy. With the POV shooting, basically I, as well as a couple camera people, a couple audio people, a very small group, probably 6 to 8 people, would travel to this location, have the producers at iFit are fantastic. They have it all mapped out of different running routes, different hiking routes. I would write up a protocol of what the exact minutes and duration and rate of perceived effort are, so the actual workout. And essentially, we would go to this great location. Let's say we're in the Kitab Mountain Pass in Uzbekistan, which is basically this highway that snakes through this really amazing mountain pass. The cameraman would have either a GoPro or some sort of mounted camera on a gimbal pointed at me and say go. And I'd say, hi guys, I'm your iFit trainer, Casey Gilbert. We are here in Uzbekistan. We're about to run, and describe the workout. And then we would literally just run and explore Uzbekistan or explore Majorca, Croatia. The locations are absolutely fantastic. The work is a lot. These are 12 and a half hour days minimum when we're filming. So that's why I need to take those steps to the side and say, okay, let's take a breath and realize what we're doing. And, you know, outside of iFit, I do that still, because there's moments where, you know, we're thinking about what's next and what we have going on. It's, you got to take those moments. But yeah, it's been pretty cool, man. I'm not going to lie. I never thought I'd be doing 10 days in Uzbekistan filming different parts of their history and sharing it with the world. That's for sure.
Yeah, because I watched the trailer for the Uzbekistan series, and it's, you know, it's just like a minute and a half. And I'm just like, wow, that has got to be so cool to be there and, you know, kind of leading people through workouts and being in that situation. One other one that I wanted to ask about was the London Marathon. Could you talk about that experience and what that was like for you?
Sure. Yeah. So London Marathon 2021, I was asked, I believe early 2021 by iFit if I wanted to run the London Marathon on camera. And that was another one of those moments where without thinking, I had to say yes, because it's very difficult to get into the London Marathon. And it's one of those iconic world major races. But as soon as I said yes, I'm starting to think of, okay, I think at the time I had done, you know, 5 marathons, which is a couple, but it's, they're at my pace. I mean, you know, I'm always chasing like a sub-3 hour, you know, race. And this is we're going at a pace that's attainable for most iFit users. And that was chosen to be 11 minute miles. So I think that was a 4:48 marathon that I'd have to do on camera speaking the whole time. And so I was nervous. I was very nervous for that one. It was, if you twist your ankle, you know, the show does not go on. If I, you know, stomach acts up, show does not go on. But man, it was cool. We flew out and it was literally just a flight. I think it was a 3-day trip we did. It was, you know, business, but it was so cool, man. It's London Marathon is, I've run the New York Marathon 3 times and it's different energy, but it's very similar in the sense that it's just thousands of people. I think there were 50,000 entrants. Everyone is just kind of excited. The energy is incredible. Yeah, we ran a marathon, and not only did I run it, but my buddy Max was running with a camera on a stick behind me. And we had the whole audio crew and everyone. So we were a group of 4 or 5 people, a lot of equipment running the London Marathon, and getting the whole thing on camera and being able to coach and also talk to the people during the race that were running. It was, man, it was really special. Very difficult. It was because it's 5 hours versus when I'm usually running 3 hours, which in theory, you know, you're running slower. It sounds easier, right? But actually you're running for 2 hours longer. Yeah. That's two more hours on your feet. That's what I try to tell people. I'm like, yeah, we're going slower, but my feet hurt the next day a lot more than they usually do. So power to everybody running those marathons, man. It's fast or slow. It's tough.
Yeah. Well, kind of what you mentioned, like the thoughts that were going through your mind were like, oh, I hope I don't twist an ankle, or I hope I don't trip, or I hope something doesn't go wrong. I hadn't thought about that, like with some of these series, like, right, if you're really like leading people through it, the camera's on you at all times. So I'm even just curious, are there any almost like embarrassing moments of things that have happened, or any, you know, situations that pop up where you're just like, oh, I did not want that to happen while we're on camera? Does anything like that come to mind?
Luckily, not too many of my own. There's been moments where I just have to take, you know, in, if we're doing a woods trail run, you know, strategic bathroom breaks, or if, you know, we've had a cameraman or two trip over a root. I was not one of these, but in one of the shoots, and I believe the people involved have already spoken on this, but food poisoning was a problem. And the trainer that was on camera would, you know, was dealing with some stomach issues the whole time. And it was very, some very careful and strategic editing, but also a lot of stop and go. And yeah, the show must go on. And a lot of times we're in a different country. We're far from facilities. We're far from, you know, we have medical gear, but you know, we have backup plans and everything, but yeah, it's always in the back of your mind. Like, hey, I need to take care of my body. You know, I'm always training for, if I know I'm going on a trip and I know what the protocol involves, a lot of running, I'm training for it. And I'm making sure that I can perform and make it look easy, I suppose, because we're supposed to, you know, be coaching and having a good time, but it's always there. Like, this is a high pressure situation, and it's very difficult to be talking the whole time and to have that mental flow as well, but it's pretty fun.
Yeah. And I bet there's even probably situations where you're maybe feeling a certain way mentally, right? When you're doing like a marathon, but you need to project confidence, project positivity, project high energy. So how do you, you know, how do you navigate that while you're doing one of those series?
Well, that's a great question. And yes, that happens all the time. And it happens outside of iFit too. There's days, you know, I think that everybody can relate to having those days where you just got to put on a face and you got to just act the opposite of how you feel sometimes. And hopefully that's not all the time, but yeah, during these iFit things, most of the time it's a very, you know, I try to just remind myself how exciting it is to be able to be doing what I'm doing and think of all the hard work to get there. Think of how privileged and, you know, how much of an honor it is to, for people to trust me with coaching them how to improve their health and wellness. But yeah, there's times when I'm, you know, very tired or just not in the right mind space. And, you know, I can turn on what I need to turn on and do the job. But what I love to do and what I'm really, what I really like to focus on is, since I have a platform, I'm very open about when I do feel that way. If I'm not having a good day mentally, physically, yeah, sure. If I, you know, hurting or tired, I'll say it. But if I'm not having a good mental day, I'll share it. I'll put myself out there. And you know, I'm privileged enough to have a bit of an Instagram following, but I tell them, hey guys, like, today was a rough day. You know, this is what I did to kind of get through it. Hope everybody's having a great day. And, you know, there's ups and downs, because as we know, social media and these iFit videos too, it's the highlights. They're not going to show, you know, someone, you know, losing control of their lunch off screen. They're not going to show an unscheduled bathroom break or tripping over a root, but these things happen, and they happen to everybody. So how do I get through it? I take a deep breath and I, you know, put that face on, but it happens all the time. There's plenty of times when, even in the London Marathon, I was very nervous, and I think we stopped about 5 times to change battery packs and kind of regroup and make sure we were on pace and everything. And every time that we got closer, I felt myself being a little more confident. Okay, hey, there's only 4 more segments. I think I can do this. But yeah, the whole time I'm still, okay, Casey, you can do this. You know, I'm giving myself what I'm talking to the screen. There's actually a lot of times when I'm talking to the screen and I'm talking to myself.
I was just going to say that. That's so great.
Every time, you know, it's encouragement that, you know, we have this inner monologue, and if we can make that, shape that into something positive, then hopefully what I'm saying to the screen is what you can say to your own screen and back at yourself, because it's tough. But yeah, we got to bring that, we got to bring that energy, you know?
Well, it's almost interesting to think of that almost as a benefit rather than like a negative thing, because like you said, if you're feeling a certain way at a part in the race, it's likely that other people that are, you know, doing the same challenge are feeling the same way. So you can just talk to yourself out loud, and likely it's the case that somebody is feeling that way as well. So that's kind of cool realization. And so I think one of the things that you mentioned is, like, you take the training side of it very seriously, and, you know, you really need to put the training in to prepare for these events so that you can do them physically and coach other people through it. And one of the things that that stands out to me that I've seen from your Instagram is that you are, you know, every year you're trying something new. And there's marathons, there's 50Ks, there's 50 milers, there's Everesting, there's, I've seen you swimming for like triathlons as well. And so I'm curious, you know, how do you continue to look for and seek different challenges for yourself? And it, and is that something that is really intentional that you try and prioritize each year?
Yeah. And that's that mantra, that idea has changed slightly since I started it. So I ran my first marathon in 2017, the New York Marathon. You know, I was a sprinter in college. I was the hurdler, a 400 meter hurdler. And so I never really considered myself a distance runner. If I had been asked to run a marathon, you know, if I ever wanted to run a marathon, my response was usually, I might do it once just to say I did it. So
seven marathons later,
couple ultras. Yeah. So then I just, you know, I crossed the line at the 2017 marathon. And I'll digress a little bit because it adds to it.
Yeah.
But so I like to train and keep my mind really active when I'm exercising. So I've taught myself how to backflip. I've seen, you know, done these crazy workouts, which I wouldn't recommend anybody. But 3 weeks before the New York City Marathon that year, I was doing backflip burpees for an Instagram video. And I severely sprained my ankle. I had a lot of bruising. I couldn't really walk on it, but I had been training for months and doing fundraising. And this was my first marathon. So I did a very, very quick PT, you know, few weeks and was able to power, would not recommend, was a terrible idea. You know, I've been doing a lot of physiotherapy since then. Anyway, that was one of the hardest things I've ever done because I was basically limping for, 3.5 hours and I cried like a baby when I crossed that finish line, but I instantly fell in love with that feeling of accomplishment. And so I made a goal right there. I said, that was my first marathon. I didn't know if I was going to be able to do it. Now that I know I can, let me try to find something I don't know I can. So in 2018, I signed up for a 50 kilometer race in Killington, Vermont. Same thing. It was super hard. My wife actually did a version of the race. I think it was a 10K on the trails, which was amazing. Girlfriend at the time. I cried like a little baby at the finish line again, but I loved it. I loved that feeling. 2019, 50 mile race, cried like a baby at the finish line. And then we had 2020. Unfortunately, the virtual races weren't really doing it for me. And I kind of fell off of that next level of race mentality, but it also got me to think about what I was trying to do. And what I was trying to do with these is find something that I didn't know that I could do and try. And so I'm still chasing those physical goals. And, you know, the 29.029 this year was one of those amazing events, but also I'm trying to just really think about challenging myself to something new every year. And whether that be, being more introspective and finding more out about myself, or, joining a club or learning a new sport or skill or something that is intimidating. And so I was signed up for my first half Ironman this year, and logistically it just wasn't going to work out. And that's surprisingly enough happening, bro. I was supposed to be there, but it just didn't work out. So I got a couple of buddies in Atlantic City doing a half Ironman. That's on my list for next things because it scares me. It's intimidating. I don't know if I can, I physically probably can do a half Ironman. I've never done it though. So I'm really excited to have these challenges. And what I wanted to say about it was to have perspective on it, because if anybody listening is thinking, okay, I'm going to do that, then eventually there's going to be a point where like, what's the next step? Like I'm thinking 50 mile, okay, 100K, 100 mile, which I know that you're doing a 100 mile race very soon. Good luck. We'll have to chat about that.
Yeah.
But then if there's no, there were times when I'd finish that 50 mile race and I'm already thinking the same day of the next race. And as cool as that is, and as exciting, it's also not accomplishing the point. The point is to grow, to challenge yourself to something, but also like be okay with celebrating it instead of, okay, did that, what's next?
Oh, that's such a huge point, because it's something that I've had to learn myself, because I've been doing endurance events for 8 years and I went about it the same way. Sprint triathlon, then an Olympic, then a half, then an Ironman, then I've done an Ironman. What do I do? All right, let's do the same thing with trail running.
Right.
25K, 50, 50 mile, 100. But through my journey, I've realized that it's not about the race. It's all about the person you become along the way. And it's really in training for an event where you develop like the right habits, you develop the right mindset, you overcome limiting beliefs, you know, become a better version of yourself in every area of your life. And that's really kind of how I view the benefit of endurance events. And I think that's a really good point that you're saying. It's like, don't just keep chasing the next thing and the next thing and the next thing and not realize that the actual benefit is the growth in the person that you're becoming. And so it sounds like that's kind of what you're saying as well, right? With how you view it.
Yeah. Because there's moments when, you know, in every race, it's still going to happen. There's some sadness after the finish line because, you know, with a marathon, you're hopefully putting in 12 to 16 weeks of effort, you know, with these endurance races, sometimes a lot longer than that. And all that buildup and those, like you're saying, the commitment to training, the mindset shifts, the challenges, the blood, sweat, and tears, quite literally almost every training session or training cycle, I've had blood, sweat, and tears build up to this race. And, you know, success or failure, at the end of the day, that race is done. And if you can't bring with you those memories and those successes along the way, and if it's just about a checking a box, which it was for me for a while, then it's not going to bring you what you really should be looking for. And it's that growth and that journey. So it's almost a dangerous path that you got to go about it the right way, which is what I've honestly learned in the past year or so is why you're doing it. If it's just to prove to yourself that you're good enough, or if you can do more, or for me, it was really, I think it was kind of a self-worth thing in my own mind. It was, you know, if I run 50 miles, does that make me good enough? Can I now be proud of, is that it? Can I be done? Okay, maybe it's 100 miles. If I don't feel that, you know, if I'm still thinking what's next, but it's the process. And yeah, it's a weird, you know, these are thoughts that go through my head all the time.
I know exactly what you're thinking about because I have had the exact same thoughts and I've had the exact same realization because for me, like earlier in my endurance event career, let's say, or even just in 2017, I did my first Ironman. Nice. And part of like why I wanted to do that is at the time I said, I wanted to prove to myself that I can do anything. And I wanted to do it at a young enough age to where, listen, if I can do an Ironman, then I can do anything. And as I actually reflect on it, a part of it was, I almost felt like I needed to achieve in order to receive love from the people around me. Right. And it's like, oh, if I do this Ironman, then people will love me more. But I realized that's not the case, right? It's like, all right, I'm enough as I am. I love myself for who I am. And I do these events because they do help me become a better person. They actually help inspire other people around me. And I just become the best version of myself. Is that kind of how it is for you as well?
Man, you said it. That's been a huge point of personal growth for myself recently is figuring out why you kind of sometimes think of like, if I do this, then I'm enough. You know, if I can do that. And I've listened to a lot of podcasts with different endurance athletes and it's kind of like a joke. They're like, oh, that she did that 100 mile in what time? Oh man, she must have more demons than we do. And it's kind of like, yeah, we all have these demons and kind of, I think I might be speaking for more people, but I think with athletics and endurance athletics and racing like that, it's a lot of challenging yourself. It's a lot of, okay, let's see if I can go through all this suffering and prove to myself that, you know, I can do it. Like you said, if you can run an Ironman, that's still on my list of things I'd love to do. So congratulations. That is an incredible accomplishment. Yeah. Like, is that good enough? Am I proving that, you know, I'm cool. You know, it's like these.
Oh
things.
Man.
It's really deep.
Yeah. And I think it's just one of those things that I think is true in a lot of areas in life. And it comes down to who are you comparing yourself to? Because there's always going to be a more like difficult challenge, right? 100 mile ultramarathon, that seems like a really hard thing, but there's 100 mile races that have, you know, 15,000 or 20,000 feet of elevation gain and descent at altitude. Then there's 150 mile races. There's 200 mile races. There are 250 mile races. And, you know, for people like me, there's always going to be somebody who's going to be faster than me or stronger than me in those events. So if I'm comparing my times to their times, or if I'm comparing the races that I'm doing to how they're doing, then I'm never actually going to be fulfilled with my own achievements. And I think that's where it's like, instead of, you know, comparing yourself to other people, one of the things that I try and do is just compare myself to who I was, you know, a year ago or a week ago or a month ago, and just kind of keep that almost, you know, relentless, you know, focus on improving yourself while also just being, you know, grateful for the process. So I think comparison is a huge almost demon that impacts a lot of us in a lot of different areas.
Yeah, it can be. I have on my water bottle, I don't have it with me, but I have a bunch of quotes on it. And one of them is comparison is the thief of joy. And
yeah,
it can be, because if you're constantly comparing, like you said, there's always a longer distance race. And if you do all of them, there's probably somebody faster than you. And if you're the fastest one, is that the best you can do? Can you do faster? You know, if you're the first person to do something in the world, like, but could you have done it faster? If that's your mindset at all times, then there will never be a point of that's enough. And that's something that I discovered about myself with running marathons. Was I was training really hard. I was probably a little overtrained, but I was training for the Miami Marathon last year. And I just felt myself so emotionally and physically burnt out. And I was talking to my coach, and I'm like, I'm burnt. I don't really have anything. And I started honestly talking to a therapist about it. I'm like, I used to love running. Like, what's going on? And she's like, well, what's your goal? I'm like, I want to run faster than I've ever run. And she's like, well, will you be happy then? And I'm like, well, crap, maybe not. Maybe, you know, if I run two hours and 50 minutes, maybe I could do 2:45. And, you know, not to digress to a different story, but I kind of changed my mindset and ran Boston last year, and I didn't train much. I mean, I was trained enough to run it. I knew that, but my mindset was just go out and have fun. Don't look at the clock. You know, I know my pacing, so I knew kind of how fast I was going, but my goal was to be at a 6 out of 10 exertion level the entire time, which is kind of typical for, you know, how you should run a marathon. But most of the time, if you're chasing a goal, you're going to push yourself a little much. That was one of the most fun moments I've had in running. And I remember I was halfway through the race, and I was just cruising, and I was laughing and getting emotional. And I was like, just, you know, smacking hands on the side. And, you know, there's these fun moments during the race where somebody on the side would, you know, threw me a water bottle, and I did like this Odell Beckham catch, and like people around started cheering. And I'm just like, wow, like I couldn't care less what my time is today. This is so fun. And I still ended up running pretty quick. I was, you know, 10 minutes behind my fastest ever and almost broke 3 hours in that one. But I'm like, I was just so relaxed. And I posted about it on Instagram, and I told my friends, I'm like, I think I've found my love for running again. Because I don't care what the time is, because I just enjoyed the moment. So, and that kind of reflects to that whole, you know, what's next mentality. It's like, no, enjoy that moment. You know, if you're running your first 5K, let alone 100 miler, enjoy that moment, like every up and down about it, and then be proud of being in that moment.
I think I'm so glad that you told that story, because I think that there's probably a lot of people who are listening to this that might be feeling the way that you felt about maybe starting to treat an endurance event, or, you know, whatever it is that they're doing, if it's a business, if it's their podcast, if it's certain relationships, getting frustrated about the process or the results. And what you're illustrating there is, you take a step back and remember, like, why did you get into it in the first place? It's like, because you loved it, because it felt like play. And when you get back into that mindset and that state with what you're doing, you're going to find so much more joy in that process. So I'm so glad that you told that story. I love that. So
yeah, absolutely.
I think where we can kind of go next, as we were talking about different endurance events and different things that kind of keep you coming back, you're always looking for that thing that's like, oh, I don't know if I could do that, you know, and kind of that intrigue. Is that what sparked the Everesting, the 29029 thing, or was it just the iFit connection? Like, what was it that got you to think about Everesting?
Yeah, so a little bit of a mix. So I had always been interested in doing it, but you know, it's the opportunity hadn't presented itself. So I coached the Summit Push for iFit back in June of this year. So a few months ago, it was basically iFit's version of the event with 12 hours instead of 36 hours and more of like, how many can you do in 12 hours? Different mindset, super fun. And I was able to be there as a coach and help people through. And through that, I met the whole 29029 crew and was able to get an invite to the Snow Basin event that we just did. And as a participant, and I was so happy that I'm like, wow, what a unique opportunity. And so, yeah, I did train a decent amount for it because, you know, that's a lot of climbing. I mean, that's 29,029 feet of gain. And that's for anyone, that's difficult. Yeah, it was really, really exciting to be a part of that. The event itself was so cool. You know, it's so unique. And I know that it probably will blow up and be very popular. And I'm really hoping it is because it's so much more than an endurance challenge. There's 36 hours to climb 13 times. And from what I do and how I train, I was fairly confident that I can do it. It was more of when would I want to finish to get the best pictures type of thing, which is, you know, being realistic. I know that I'm not the inspiring person out there. I know that the inspiring people out there are those who don't know that they can do it. And they spend all 36 hours climbing. So after I finished, and even during, I mean, the 29029 is so much more of a bonding event than just an endurance challenge. You're walking most, if not all the time. So you're able to be next to someone and encourage someone that you don't know. And these gondola rides down. And I met so many unique individuals, all sharing different stories of who they were and why they were there. And, you know, that to see those people who were like, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to be able to finish this, but I got 36 hours. I'm not going to sleep. I'm going to try. And I'm like, that is so inspiring to me. Like I was not the inspiring person out there and I didn't expect to be and don't want to be. It was not about me. It was about the energy out there and encouraging others to, you know, there's not a race either. It's just, hey, let's see if we can all do this. And if you finish, let's see if you can help other people finish. And, you know, there were people that knew they weren't going to finish and that thought 13, no way, maybe 4, maybe 5, which means just like we were talking about with the London Marathon, which means, you know, me finishing in X amount of time, knowing that I'm going to finish, it's just how fast am I going to finish? That's not inspiring to me. It's if the person's like, I'm going to do my best and I'm going to use all 36 hours. I'm going to be on my feet for the entire time, as opposed to, you know, planning out when to nap and all that. Oh man, it was such an event. It was great to see you there. Your energy was just so good, man. That was such an experience for me. It was really special.
Yeah. Like I was lucky enough to participate in the Everesting event in 2021 in Stratton, Vermont. And so I 100% agree that this is a challenge. And for people who aren't familiar with it, you have 36 hours to climb the equivalent of Mount Everest, which is 29,029 feet. And in Snow Basin, you have 13 ascents. So you take one ascent hike, one ascent up, and then you take the gondola down and you repeat that process until you reach the equivalent of 29,029 feet. And so it's exactly what you mentioned. Like, it's not a race. There's no first place, second place, third place. It's a community of people all pushing together to try and reach their own Everest. And like you mentioned, some people will only do one or two ascents. Some people will go 36 hours and not reach all ascents. Some people will, like you said, know that they're not going to finish, but they keep pushing through. And everybody almost learns something through that process and through their own story. And I know that you were kind of focusing on a few other people as you were, you know, talking about your experience, but were there any, you know, challenging moments for you? And like, what were those like from your perspective?
Yeah, for sure. And don't get it twisted. It was still very, very difficult for me. Yeah. You know, I'm not saying it's like I chose when I wanted to finish. There was still moments where I was cramping and I was, you know, when I'm running and when I'm doing endurance events, I usually repeat a mantra out loud. And mine was, I feel strong. I feel strong. You know, I was going to say it until I felt it, because there's moments where my legs were just destroyed. And there was moments where, like, I just, you know, stomach was acting up or it was really hot. But there were also moments like when the sun went down and our first nighttime hike and it got cooler. And because it got cooler, my body kind of just got this amazing second wind. And I'll tell you, I felt like I was floating up that mountain and it felt so good. And I was just so happy to be there. I kept turning around and looking at the view. And I just felt so privileged to be able to not only be at that event, but be able to physically do, you know, such a crazy accomplishment. It was, you know, it was super special. And I'm a very introspective person. I get emotional when I think about certain things. I cry at weddings and I'm open about my, my emotions. And that was a very emotional weekend for me. It was very, just the inspiration from everyone and just the love and generosity and kindness from everyone. While they're trying to accomplish such a difficult physical test, you know, it was very inspiring. And it came at a really important time for me when I'm still, you know, I recently moved from Utah to Florida and I'm trying to kind of find my way down here too. And it's the same gut feeling sometimes that I had in New York of like, what's the right move? And 29 just made me step back and say, wow, like whatever that move next is, who cares? This is, how cool is this moment? And to just take a step back and, you know, not physically because we were stepping up a lot, but it was just one of those moments where I was really present and I was so glad that I was able to experience it.
Yeah. I left that weekend with like the same like high of energy because what is so inspiring is just hearing everybody's stories. And I was a volunteer at the event, so I got to see people coming up the mountain like multiple times. And I got to really, you know, get to know their story. And I would ask them like in their hardest moments, like, what are you thinking about? What's your mantra? And so those are the things that really stand out to me is just the stories of the people that are all pushing through and trying to do this challenge. And it sounds like it was very, you know, inspiring and motivational for you. Like, but I'm curious, as you're thinking back to that event, and you mentioned that you almost got like emotional, what was like the experience or the story that, or the lesson that made you emotional as you thought about it?
I think what I was mentioning before about being present, it's been a little difficult, you know, moving to a new city and the challenges that come with that and, you know, trying to make new friends, but also build new connections. And, you know, at this point, it's, I don't know what the next move is, you know, professionally or what's, you know, what else I can keep striving for physically. And as far as racing and, you know, a lot of back and forth, just the way that I talk, I know that sometimes it's very bing, bong, that's kind of how I think a lot. And being there and allowing people to tell me their story and having people allow me to speak. And just the beauty of it, really. I mean, the mountains are so beautiful.
Yeah.
The night hiking, like I mentioned, was really special. And it was just like, I was just kept asking myself, like, how could you be stressed if you have this experience? Like, if you take this moment, these experiences, these stories back with you, like, this is going to make you a better person. This is going to, and I was also thinking also like, these are really cool people to know. Like maybe some of these people could, you know, I could learn from them, go and pick their brain. The coaches on the mountain, I'm like, I opened up to them and said like, hey, here's how I'm feeling about, you know, what I'm doing. Like, what do you do? And where do you find joy in what you do? And I think it was another thing where there's moments where I, with what I do with fitness, I've been fortunate enough to take what I love and make it into a career. But with doing that, sometimes if you focus too much on the success of it or the income and that, it's kind of like with the racing, I've sometimes find myself falling out of love with my passion. And I think talking to people and coaches there was another reignition, just like when I ran Boston, it was okay. Asking about, hey, what do you do? Like, how do you do it? And I would always ask, are you happy? And there was a resounding yes from a lot of people there. And it was just really inspiring because it's kind of like with the races, like, yeah, you did a 100-mile race. Cool. But are you happy with it? You're never going to have somebody ask you, oh, you ran a 50-mile race. What was your time? No, nobody cares. Nobody knows if it's a good time, but did you enjoy it? Are you happy? And that's how I felt on the mountain. I felt, you know, truly inspired, truly happy, truly present. And, you know, I'm excited to go back. I hope I can get to volunteer or do it again in some point. And, Yeah, man, that was pretty cool.
It is. And I think that this is almost like one of those benefits of doing something that's really physically challenging, and especially doing that with a group of other people that are all going through that same challenge, which I think is unique to an event like Everesting. And you get that a little bit in ultra marathons, where it's kind of more of a community versus a race. And it's when you're doing something really hard, it forces you to be present because you're like physically tired. You're like, I can't be thinking about anything else. I literally just need to get to the next aid station, or I just need to get some food in me. And there's all of these emotions that come up along the way. And eventually, you know, when you complete it, you feel like so good and you're so proud of yourself for doing it. And I think that that's a huge part of what Everesting is all about. And I just echo everything you've been saying, like such an epic event. And if anybody who's listening to this ever has the chance, like check it out and sign up and be a part of that community. So thank you for sharing your experience with that. You know, as we're starting to kind of wrap up here, there's a few, you know, kind of final questions. And, you know, you've been very open with your story and some of your achievements and, you know, a lot of the things that you've overcome. But, you know, my goal really with this show is to help people to be inspired and motivated, which I think they likely are from hearing this, you know, story, but also like have like practical steps to, you know, help improve their lives. And for me, like one of the best ways to do that is just with habits. And I find that, you know, with people like you who have achieved big things, there's certain habits that they, you know, keep with. And so I'm curious for you, you know, what are some of those like daily or weekly habits that you have had that kind of the biggest impact on your career or really just on your life?
Sure. I think number one would be, you know, working on mindfulness. And it's something that I really push myself to, and speaking openly, something I've struggled a lot with in the past and probably my whole life is, you know, feeling confident in different spaces or feeling kind of, you know, not struggling with anxiety and learning about myself. So what I do is I try to every day, I wouldn't say I do it every day, I'm working on it, work in progress here, but I try to do some sort of journaling or some sort of meditation. And there's a lot of really, really great journaling apps or even just a 5-minute journal or something you can find online then that are kind of guided to ask you a question of, hey, how do you feel? And you write down how you feel. Something you're excited about today. That's something I like to think about is if I'm stressed out, okay, can I find one moment today that I'm excited for? Even if it's, there it is right there.
I got mine right here.
You got the 5-minute journal right there.
5-minute journal.
That's it. I have that too. And I have a lot of different journal. I have a journaling app on my phone, which is great, but I wish I would, you know, it's probably be better to write. It's so crazy. If you're in a bad mental headspace and you ask yourself the right question or you visualize something differently. For me, I can physically feel the difference. If I'm stressed and I'm really anxious over a moment of, hey, I don't know, you know, let's go back to when I quit my job, medical sales. If I knew how to do this back then, I would have said, okay, this is crazy. I don't know what I'm going to do. But let me ask myself, what if everything went right? What would that look like? What would that feel like? Or what do I want to have in my life other than, you know, money or other than this? It's, you know, what are my values? And sometimes these questions, these journaling practices can really help you figure out like, okay, if something's not going right over here, what other buckets can I fill up? You know, I've been following Jesse Itzler because of the 29-0-29. And he recently posted, he said, you know, if someone, you know, what does success mean? You know, in his Jesse, what does success mean to you? But he's like, if it's, you know, if you show me a guy who's uber wealthy, he's not, that doesn't mean he's successful. He's just rich. You know, does that person fill the other buckets? All right. You know, is that person a good friend, a good husband or wife, a good father or son or daughter? You know, are they having fun? Are they physically fit? Are they, you know, all these things. And so long answer to your short question is I like to think about those things. I like to think of, if I don't feel good about something, what would it feel like if it went well? You know, physically, what, or mentally, what do I want? And that's kind of guided me now in how I make decisions. It's, you know, if I'm pursuing something, okay, like, will this make me happy? Will this you know, yes, will this bring me money or will this make me have more stability and income? But also, will it, you know, will I feel good about it? Is this following values that I want? Will this, you know, make me excited to do? Or, you know, it's all these questions. Journaling has been huge for me. Yeah, I think there's a lot of introspection we can do. Another one is just reaching out to friends, even if it's just to say hi. Again, being in a new state for the third time within a year has been very, very tough. You know, sometimes I just, if I'm feeling down, I'll reach out to a friend and be like, hey, having a tough day, but I'm happy you're in my life. And that can help me tremendously. But also, like, you're reaching out to a friend, you know, it's everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
If I could just tell everybody that, like, if I'm speaking to the iFit camera, y'all, we're going to be fine. And I'm saying that to myself too, but like, just be in the moment. If you get everything you want right now, if you think, if I get this, I'll be happy. It's probably not true. Like, just you have all that you need to be present, be happy, be content in this moment. It's just about how you change that mindset for it.
Yeah. Well, I think with, you know, the mindfulness through journaling and, you know, connecting with other people, those are two things that I've found work to help you get through like a hard day, but also a hard race. You know, like so many times when you're in a race, like your mind is just like, oh, there's no way I can do this. That I can have however many miles to go. It's like, no, like, let me just be present. Let me just focus on this one. And it's happened a lot of times where, you know, where I'm in a low spot, but then you start talking to somebody and then you forget about it. And you're just like connecting with another human. And you're like, all right, I've got a bunch of energy now. Like, let's do this together. So I think those are two really good ones. And kind of a wrap up question here. So I have this word Endurify that I created to kind of represent really what I believe is the true benefit from competing in endurance events. And it's made up of endurance and IFY. And so endurance is the ability to continue or last despite stress or whatever, or adverse effects. And IFY is to make or to become. So like I've talked about, it's like, I believe that endurance challenges are helpful because they help us become the type of person that can continue or last despite whatever stands in their way. And so the last question is, what's one piece of advice that you have for people who are listening to this, you know, likely entrepreneurs or athletes or people that want to become their best, to allow them to continue or last despite whatever stands in their way?
I think it would go back to what I said before and just trust your hustle. If it's something that you care about, if it's something that you want, trust your ability to overcome those adverse things or those obstacles, because the goal is not to not encounter obstacles. The goal is not for something to be easy. The goal is to be able to encounter that difficult thing and through past experiences or just through confidence, be able to overcome it. That's what I say when I'm teaching and coaching is, guys, what we're doing right here when we're working out is putting those obstacles in front of us and physically overcoming them so that when we encounter those obstacles in life, we know we can reach into that bag of memories and say, hey, I've been in this position and I've overcome it before. So that's going to build my confidence here. So just trust yourself. It's really, you know, it's like that quote that I've heard. It's what's meant for me won't miss me. So if something's meant to be, it's going to happen. You just got to keep trusting yourself and trust the universe.
Trust your hustle. Like, I love that. Like that, I've written that down and I think that's great, great advice. That's definitely something that I'm taking away from this episode. And I just wanted to say thank you, Casey, for jumping on and sharing your story and being open and authentic and real about the struggles, the highs, the lows, and everything in between, because that is the process that we are all going through. And I think that's why people really connect with you. And I picked up on that right away from, you know, meeting you and then seeing kind of the community that you're building. And so I just want to encourage you, like it's really impressive. And just wanted to say thank you for coming on. And so for anybody who wants to, you know, join your community or follow you online, where can they go to do that?
Yeah. Well, first of all, Mario, thank you so much, man. That means a lot. It's been a pleasure meeting you, and it's super impressive seeing what you're doing with your endurance racing and just how much of a hustler you are. So it's definitely been a privilege. we'll Thanks, have man. To keep in touch about your racing, and I I feel like we're about to be best friends, to be honest.
Like, who's John? John Peel? Yeah. Who's that guy? It's like, whatever, oh, there's this new Mario guy that he's kind of cool. Yeah.
Do you play golf, Mario?
I don't.
Okay. So, okay. John can stick around for that.
We can play like pickleball or something instead.
Deal. So on Instagram, I am Casey F. Gilbert. And that's probably the easiest way to follow me. I'm actually working on a few things and starting some run coaching. I do run coaching. You can reach out to me through that. But really, like, I also answer all my DMs unless they're creepy. You know, I tell people just reach out. Like, I have some followers, but it's not even close to the point where I need someone to go through DMs for me. Like, to reach out, say what up. And, you know, just like you just said that about, Mario, about what you've seen and been inspired, you know, that really meant a lot to hear. And so if I've done anything good for you, that'd be great to hear. And I'd love to hear your story, anybody listening, and, just connect. I feel like we have the power to connect with each other. So why not do it? Stay tuned, because there's going to be a lot of big stuff coming out on my page. Just keep an eye out, and some really cool iFit stuff coming. Cool iFit stuff coming soon. They're not gonna be able to see this on the podcast, but this is the book that I'm having to read for the next trip, 3 inches wide. We're going to a really cool country that I can't wait to share, and I'm really excited about it. So a lot of cool stuff coming.
I think I need to wrap up this episode so I can ask you and start to figure out what is that country. But seriously, yeah, if for anybody who's looking for inspiration, motivation, and just authentic and real like connection, go ahead and follow Casey, because he's up to some amazing things and he's doing, some amazing things in this world. And so, Casey, just want to say thank you again. And thank you to everybody who's listening.
My brother, thank you so much for having me.